Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt and Kyle Etherington in studio today for Inside the Huddle. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday, November 22nd. Got a fun show planned for you today, talking a lot of high school basketball, girls and boys basketball. We'll be joined by a couple of our coaches from last night's game, where Carroll took down Clinton Central 38-30, and we'll be joined now by our first guest. It's Clinton Central girls basketball coach Don Helmick. Coach, how are you doing today?
Well, we could be better.
Well, you guys held a lead for much of that game last night against Carroll before kind of a fourth quarter explosion by the Cougars to take that one 38-30. Let's talk about what you saw in the first half, because Kyle and I were talking before the game, and it seemed like the way for you guys to win that game was grind it out, keep it low scoring, because Carroll, when they start to get scoring, they can score in a hurry. And you were doing that. You held a 5-point lead, 18-13 at the half. So at the half, you had to feel pretty good about where you guys were sitting.
Yeah, I mean, we were doing some things. We screwed up there in the first quarter. We wanted the girls to hold the ball when we were up six to nothing, and you know, we didn't understand that. So you know, there was some possessions there that they got quicker in the first quarter. You know, we had two opportunities to push it up to eight. You know, and 8-0, you really start to feel good about yourselves, whether you are better than the team or not. When you're up 8-0, you think you're great. And then, you know, we had a couple breakdowns in the 3-2, which, you know, was kind of expected, because we've not ran a 3-2. We honestly didn't even practice a 3-2, and we've not ran a 3-2 in a season and a half. That was a decision made on the way over to the game, really. You know, it worked for us last night.
It absolutely did, and you held a really good Carroll team to just 13 points in that first half, and you seemed to shut down a couple of their best players, including Jillian Saltz in that first half. I think she hit just 1-3, and then Eliza Reinhardt, who's been really good for them this season, and their freshman Kinley Randall. They all kind of struggled to get going. It helped that they missed some free throws early, but then moving on to the second half, it seemed like their defense kind of turned it up intensity wise and they were able to hit some shots. What did you see? They were able to slow down Carly Davison a little bit, but she still got some of her points, but they slowed her down a little bit in that second half.
Well, with what I'm getting ready to say, I want to make sure it's known that Carroll did what they needed to do to win the game in the fourth quarter. They hit shots. We didn't necessarily contest the shots as well as we had been. But I just watched the game again, and Carly got the crap beat out of her. You have one team running a pressure defense and another team in a 3-2, kind of sagging back, yet we were called for 18 fouls. They were called for 12. They shot 18 free throws. We shot 5. You know, and so what I think the difference was, now again, they hit shots. I mean, they really did. And they did pick up the defense, but there was a lot of hands on, and that wasn't the way it was called in the first half. So the game, in my opinion, was officiated differently, from about the, I think I wrote down the 6-minute mark in the third quarter, for the rest of the game. Now, most of our fouls were fouls. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is they got by, it appeared with a lot of hands-on, a lot of body contact, just different things like that. But in the end, you know, Carroll did make a run and was able to gain control of the game there with about 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
And it seems like one of the things we talk about quite a bit is Emily Long, and she's great on the inside, but she's dealing with foul trouble quite a bit, and she sat out for a lot of that end of the third and going into the fourth quarter. You brought her back with about 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And we were saying up in the booth, it was kind of anticlimactic because it was just an inbounds play and it was a bump and that was it. That was her fifth foul. And she had to sit for the final 4.5 minutes of the game. But when you have her on the floor and you have Harris and Davison and her, your offense is a lot more dynamic than it is without one of those three.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fourth foul or the fifth foul on Emily was probably a questionable one, but the other four, they were fouls. Two of those first four was because we had the ball in our hands and Carol took it away from us. And then Emily just happens to be the person there as they turn and, you know, she's, aggressive and goes for the block and fouls them. But, I think, you're right with those three on the floor were solid, but, Emily's got to understand how to stay tall and understand that, you know, she's a 5'6", 5'7" post player and you're probably not going to block too many shots. That's something we're going to continue to work on and I know she'll buy in and, you know, hopefully we'll have it fixed, by January.
And coach, with the exception of those seniors, you're a relatively young ball club. Kind of talk about the contributions made last night by some of the younger players, especially players like Harvey, who came into the game, especially in that second quarter, and really made some shots for you. How difficult is it to kind of get them in the mindset of, hey, you've got to be the person to be the one to step up and put points on the board, especially if there is any type of foul trouble going on like last night?
Yeah, and I think if you look at our roster, even with the seniors, we only have two that really have varsity experience. The Jacobs girl, she was a floater last year. She played more JV than varsity. The Mounts girl was strictly JV. And then, you know, the Long girl missed half the year because of an ACL tear. So, you know, of the girls we have, only two of them was varsity and started varsity the entire year. The Harvey girl, she wasn't even going to play. I think fortunately for me, I'm also the softball coach and she was our pitcher and between her and Addie Mounts and, Carly, we talked a lot during the softball season and, you know, she's a little bit behind because she hasn't played in a couple years. But she's also a wrestler, so you know she's only at half of the practices. She'll go to an hour of wrestling and then to an hour of basketball. So, you know, it's taken her some time to get caught up. The Jacobs girl, I thought last night defensively was really a pain in the butt for them. She got her hand on a lot of passes, Mounts is just. She's just starting to figure it out. I mean, you know, she's a junior, but has only played JV and, you know, the varsity game's a lot faster and it's taken her some time to get accustomed to that. So there was some positives last night. We just got to build on that and put this in the file cabinet and hope we see them in the championship game of the sectional.
And with Hannah Jacobs, as you said, I was just about ready to bring that up next. Just excellent hands, just quickness beyond belief at times. And one thing with Hannah, I think you might possibly agree with this, just developing her offense, but also her ability to have a little confidence in herself that she can make those offensive plays. How do you do that for a senior who is experiencing varsity for relatively the first time, but also how do you do that for a young freshman who might not have been the scorer in middle school?
Well, you know, the thing with Hannah is, she's a great kid. We've got a lot of great kids and I think Hannah's top five in her class. She is one of the more receptive, players when it comes to telling her something. She doesn't question it. She just, you know, goes with it. And if we can ever get her to understand to go with her outside hand, she'll have a lot more steals. They won't be the tips. They'll be the steals. Cause I was just watching it and all the touches she got, but a lot of them was with that inside hand. So, you know, you're usually only going to get the tip, not the steal. A lot of what we do, Lydia Neal got in some quality minutes there in the fourth quarter. A sophomore that probably weighs 75 pounds soaking wet. What we do is we try to we try to pair him up against Carly, you know, against Abby. Addie Mounts, we try to, you know, put her against the long girl, just from the standpoint that, you know, if they can get in the habit of understanding how to guard a Carly or play deep offense against a Carly type player, you know, it's gonna benefit them. But you know, our numbers are low, which we knew, you know, 5 years ago this was gonna be a low number period for a couple years, and it's just hard it's hard to have a practice where you can scrimmage a lot because, you know, we've got the girls to do 5-on-5, but, you know, after 10 minutes with no subs, it's kind of, you know, useless of doing it because they get so tired and you get diminished returns. So we've had the junior high boys come in quite a bit early in the year to practice against us. So it's just, you know, opportunities like that where they can go against another person, a different person. And then some of the quality kids on our team that we give them the opportunity to go against helps them with the confidence.
Talking with Clinton Central girls basketball coach Don Helmick, and started the season off with 3 wins against Frontier and then at the Morristown Invitational, winning a couple of those games, including one against a conference foe in Tri-Central. You kind of grinded that one out. You lost your first game of the season. It was against Fountain Central. Then you came back and beat Frankfort Pioneer, and then, of course, this game to start off actual conference play against Carroll, and then next week against Delphi, and then you have a little bit of time off because you play on November 25th. You don't have a game until December 11th because of the holiday and a little bit of a break. So you have kind of this first stretch of the season, and you'll play Delphi next week, and then you get that break, and so you can kind of take some time to evaluate. What have you taken away from this first stretch of games?
Well, I mean, we knew going in that offense was going to take some time, and you know, we hoped to average, you know, 40 points a game. You know, and our average is more than that, but we've played 2 teams that just weren't very good. So we were able to you know, put some points on the board and hold teams down defensively, but I think offense is where we're still struggling and still trying to learn and still trying to understand how to set a screen, how to use the screen better. And, you know, but defensively, I think we're a lot better than what I thought we would be this early. You know, the Tri-Central game, we held them into the 30s. The Pioneer game, I believe they were in the 30s or maybe 29. And those two teams are, they're solid teams. And then, you know, Carroll, and again, some of their stats are, they're like us. They've played some teams that just, you know, are really struggling this year. So they were able to inflate some of their numbers, but, you know, we just feel like, the defensive side of things right now, are pretty good. You know, we went up against Carroll last night, who's averaging shooting 55 shots and you know, averaging probably around 50. And we held them to 38 and, you know, 13 for a half. So, you know, defensively, you know, we're a little bit above where we need to be. Offensively, we're behind where we need to be. And you know, the bottom line, it all will come together if we can get in, you know, better condition, because, you know, if you go and look at all of our games, our fourth quarters have been where we either hold on or, you know, let teams pull away. And it's because of, you know, our lack of depth. So we've got to either get some girls to get some confidence, to get more depth, or we got to do some more running at practice and become better conditioned.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to talk about is your senior leader in Carly Davison. She's closing in on the school record for points in a career. And I believe she came into the season about 200 points away, and she's got to be closing in on that now. I don't know the exact figures, but just talk about what she means to this team, both as, you know, as the team leader in all the stat categories, but also as the team leader in leadership wise, and what she provides to this team.
Well, and you know, and sometimes you know, Carly's just a competitor. She's you know, this is my 25th year, and she's in the top 2 or 3 as far as being a competitor. I think the only other one that you know, might be a little bit ahead of her was a girl from Cascade named Brandis Salee. So, you know, Carly just wants to compete and wants to win, and you know, she puts it out there that she wants to be the best. And sometimes, you know, the younger girls don't know how sometimes to take it, because, you know, we went and talked to Michael Lewis at Ball State about 3 weeks ago, and, you know, and he even has a problem with, you know, his college players, where you have kids that are passionate and you have kids that are just doing it because. And we have a lot of kids that are doing it because, and sometimes Carly forgets that, hey, such and such is just here because she just enjoys the game. She doesn't have your passion. So, you know, sometimes we got to kind of tone her down and, you know, let the other girls know that, hey, you know, this, your sport is this, and you're going to love, you know, that more than anything else. And you're going to get upset, and you got to understand that's what Carly is. But, you know, she's starting to understand that. And you know, it's, you know, when you have kids that play AAU with kids of equal talent, sometimes it's hard to go to a high school team where, you know, not everybody has the same desire, the same passion that you have for that sport. And you know, she's adjusting, but, you know, when just a few minutes ago, you know, they're actually out there shooting right now. We're going to go over some film, and I live on a farm that has no internet right now. So we couldn't get the message out. So, you know, she walks in and says, hey, you need to send a message out, let everybody know what time we're done, blah, blah, blah. You know, and, you know, she's just kind of like the secretary basketball player, you know, and, you know, she's just really, a solid kid, going to go play some basketball after high school. But the thing about her is she's never told me that. She's not even told too many people in school. This has been something that has been decided 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's important to her, but she doesn't like the attention on that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know a lot of girls when they meet, I mean, boom, they're signing. We're going to have a table out, and we're going to take pictures, and we're going to plaster it all over Facebook and wherever else. And Carly's not, at least at this point in time, not mentioned it or even interested in that, because, you know, she's more concerned with her immediate game and her immediate team.
Yeah, going to play at, I believe, Culver Stockton, and correct?
Yeah, it's a school in Missouri, and she's actually playing for a person that either coached or played basketball at Clinton Prairie.
That's awesome to hear the Clinton County connection there, and I'm sure she'll have a great career. We appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to covering a few more Clinton Central games this week. Your next game next week against Delphi, that's on Tuesday, November 25th, and then you have a little bit of time off, but we look forward to covering some more games, and we look forward to talking to you a little bit more this season on Inside the Huddle. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thank you.
That's Clinton Central girls basketball coach Don Helmick. We will be back with quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers, inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number two. You're listening to Inside the Huddle on WILO 96.9, 1570 AM, and Boone 102.7 FM. You can also watch on HoosierlandTV.com, streaming live on Hoosierland TV, and also available archived. You can go back and watch any episode of Inside the Huddle if you want to. And we'll also have the episode up for playback on Clinton County Daily News. Go to the sports tab and click Inside the Huddle. You'll find all of our episodes from this season. You can also find us on Spotify at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media, and find all of our archived episodes from this season and some of our fun episodes from next season. A little programming update. We will not have a live show next week. We're going to spend some time enjoying the holiday weekend with our families, but we will have a show for you. We are going to bring you our Hoosierland TV football team, our all Hoosierland TV team. We will honor some of the top players in the area. In our opinion, Kyle and I will be voting on those players, and that will come to you next Saturday. So don't miss that special episode honoring our local football players as the football season comes to an end. Nationally wise, I saw that we've been talking a lot just about Knox and Miles McLaughlin and the season that they've had. They fell last night to a Fort Wayne school, and it was tough to see that, but what a season for those guys.
Yeah, tremendous accomplishment with McLaughlin being able to break several Indiana records, but also several national records, and looking forward to Thanksgiving next week, but also looking forward to state championship football down at Lucas Oil Stadium. Should be a wonderful weekend full of some excitement. And with Sam, we also know that college football is definitely a bit of a thing to keep in mind. Sam, last week on the program, gave me some homework, and I can successfully report that Mr. Etherington's homework is done.
All right, let's hear it.
Well.
Who's in the lead right now for our college football picks?
Coming into week 11, we were both tied at 11-6 after we both picked at Texas Tech. However, last week, Coach E has jumped into the lead by 2 in the loss column. 12-8 for Sam on the year, myself 14-6. Like to send a special shout out to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the Georgia Bulldogs, and the USC Trojans. And we do have a best overall record. Coach Isaac, he is 1-0 by picking Georgia in week 3. The lowest person on the totem pole is Kathy Martin, picking Tennessee back during week 3 as well. So I'm always going to give her a little bit of guff on that one. But going into it, Coach Etherington, 2 ahead in the loss column.
There we go.
Coming into this week.
Just wait. I'll catch up, and if I don't catch up, then I'll do something weird and make points worth double at the end of the year, and somehow I will come out on top. You better believe that. Let's do our college football picks while we have a little time in this quarter number 2, and we'll continue. I like doing a couple of games, so we'll do 2, and there's 2 ranked-on-ranked matchups this week. 1 in the SEC and 1 in the Big Ten. We'll start with the SEC matchup. It's number 22, Missouri, playing at number 8, Oklahoma. Who are you taking in that matchup?
Boomer Sooner every single day of the week. There's no way I'm picking against Oklahoma at home, especially against Missouri. That'll be a fine matchup. But, yeah, I'm not picking against the Sooners in that one.
I don't think I can either. It's kind of surprising that the spread is only 5.5 points favoring Oklahoma, but after their win against Alabama, I think they have the better quarterback, and I think that gets it done for the Sooners. I will take Oklahoma as well. And then in the Big Ten, a pivotal matchup has playoff implications, USC at Oregon. Who are you taking in that matchup?
It is going to be a really balmy 51 degrees out in Eugene. The Ducks are favored by over 10 points. I'll take the Ducks, but I think it might be a little bit closer than 10 points.
I've watched a few USC games this year. They've got probably one of the best wide receivers in the country, Mekhi Lemon. If you haven't watched him play, he's fun to watch.
Yes, indeed.
And a great quarterback in Jordan Maiava. I picked the Ducks earlier in the year against Indiana. It came back and burned me.
You're still bitter about that one.
I'm a little bit bitter about that one. But I'm going to go back to the well. I'm going to take the Ducks in this one, but we'll see. So I guess I won't be gaining any points on you this week as we're both taking the same squads. But I like Oregon in this game as well to take down USC and keep their name alive in the college football playoff conversation. So there's our college football picks.
Yeah, we got a few more weeks left to go with college football playoffs. We've still got through 2026 to get through. So you got plenty more opportunities.
Plenty of time. And all I know is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are winning the national championship this
year. Holding steady on that prediction.
Don't hold me to that one. But okay. There's my pick on that. Let's talk a little bit more girls basketball and some scores from around the area over the last couple of days. Delphi had a big matchup against Clinton Prairie last night, and it was a win for the Orcals. They won 50-38 over Clinton Prairie. The Gophers still looking for that first win. It's a very young Clinton Prairie squad, but I was actually surprised at the score that they were able to, you know, stay in that game and keep it close. And Clinton Prairie is continuing to improve, and I have no doubts by the end of the season they'll be rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And when you're dealing with the loss of several key senior leaders, not just in the scoring department, but also in the ball handling department, that's definitely going to set you back. And a lot of times you take a look at the scores and they don't tell the entire picture. You take a look at the record and it doesn't tell the entire picture. So Clinton Prairie has got a lot of young players who are going to get used to this varsity experience playing against 17, 18-year-olds. And the next couple of years, they're going to do very, very well if they keep at it and don't lose faith in each other and don't lose faith in themselves as well.
Another Clinton Prairie will be on Hoosierland TV next week on Tuesday. They'll be playing against the Rossville Hornets, who won last night against Eastern with a final score of 68-27 to remain unbeaten. They beat Delphi earlier in the week, 53-40. Rossville sitting at 4-0. They'll play Clinton Prairie on Tuesday. That game will be on Hoosierland TV as our girls basketball game of the week with tip-off at 7:30, so don't miss that one. Should be a fun game that we're excited for, and our first time looking at Rossville on the Hoosierland TV game of the week. But, man, they've had a great start to the year.
Yeah, Rossville's been very successful, had some close games the last couple of weeks. You wouldn't be able to tell it from the scores, but with Fountain Central, that was a terrific matchup of a team in the Lady Mustangs that is going to definitely challenge for that sectional championship against Lafayette Central Catholic this year. It was very close almost the entire way, but Rossville was able to come away with a big victory, more from the inside than they did the outside. And then when you take a look at the game that they had recently against Delphi, Delphi hung in there with the Lady Hornets through three quarters and just weren't able to get over the hump. And ultimately, Rossville was able to get that victory. And then Eastern still building a program. Sarah Murphy, a former classmate of mine at Tipton High School while I was there. I think she's got the program going in the right direction, but they're still building and still getting ready for the future. And they definitely got an education and a half last night from several young ladies who are very talented, but also very tall at 5'10", 5'11". Although I think they seem a little closer to 6 foot, if you ask me, standing right next to them.
There we go. So those are some girls basketball scores of the week, and we'll have our girls basketball game of the week next week. It's the Hornets and the Gophers. That one's at Clinton Prairie, so we're looking forward to that one. And our boys basketball game of the week, of course, is our boys basketball season opener. It's Delphi at Rossville, our first look at the new-look Hornets. They look pretty good. You saw them in a preseason scrimmage the other day. What'd you see?
There is a huge jump each year. Freshman year, you're kind of feeling things out. The sophomore year, you're feeling a little bit more comfortable in your own skin. Junior year, for a lot of these guys who are juniors, they feel extremely comfortable. And then Couple that with the guys they have coming back, who are seniors, along with several key additions from the junior varsity. Rossville should be very entertaining to watch. The speed alone of the offense getting up and down the court, but also just cutting through screens east and west, was very entertaining for myself. And I got a fabulous front row seat to their scrimmage against Lewis Cass. And don't make any bones about it, Lewis Cass is a very talented ball club too. They got a couple of outside shooters that seem to hit from the parking lot at times, but Rossville is going to be a lot of fun to watch, whether it is the stick, the beef, or the butter. Rossville is going to be very impressive this entire season. They're going to do great things, not just this year, but also next year too.
Well, we're looking forward to covering that game as our boys basketball game of the week on Wednesday. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with quarter number three of Inside the Huddle, and a special guest. It's Frankfort boys basketball coach Albert Hendricks coming up on quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskybrothers.com.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Your Saturday forecast, sunny skies and a high of 50. Tonight, mostly clear. We drop to near freezing temperatures with a low of 33. Sunday, sunny and a high of 55. Monday, chance of afternoon rain showers, mostly cloudy and a high of 57. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. News and weather updates 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County DailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number three. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers. And our guest now in quarter number three, Frankfort boys basketball coach Albert Hendricks. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
We are doing well. So, Coach, you come after 15 years of coaching at Lebanon, where you went 200 and 165 and won two sectional titles, and now you come up the road back to, you graduated from Frankfort, correct?
I did.
So back to your alma mater to coach the Hot Dogs, and you guys will get your season started next Wednesday against Clinton Prairie at home. And so talk about what the transition has been like. You go from Lebanon now over to Frankfort, and you've got a good squad ready to go. And so talk about the transition.
Well, you know, obviously being at Lebanon for 15 years and then coaching in their system for about 40 years total from 7th grade on up, and then coming back to Frankfort, you know, is exciting for me. I played here, graduated in 1979 from here, and was part of a good team that went to the semi-state in 1978. So it's been exciting to come back and see a lot of the people that I saw and then. And then, you know, Brian Ewing, who was a teammate of mine, is my JV coach. So, you know, getting back here and having an opportunity to try to rebuild and get Frankfort back on the map is certainly something that we're looking forward to.
You get to the opportunity to rebuild, and you get to do it in this new athletic conference, the Monon Athletic Conference. And so that's got to be kind of exciting. You get to lead the team in this step in transition as well.
Yeah, you know, the Sagamore Conference was always a really good conference, and, you know, then it split off this coming year. And so it will be interesting to see how we compete in this conference over the next 5 years, and as we, you know, try to rebuild here. And you know, Frankfort won two games last year and lost 22. So, you know, it definitely is a rebuilding situation. Although we have seven or eight seniors on the team, you know, these kids have had, you know, four or five coaches in the last 4 or 5 years here at Frankfort. And so it's really tough for them. And they've done a really nice job of being coachable and buying into what we're trying to do this year. And hopefully that, you know, by the middle of the year, we can kind of get our system in and try to be successful the second half of the season.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the team. And you mentioned several seniors that are coming back, and they've played for so many different coaches, and so now you try to come in and bring some stability to that. Let's talk about the team and who you're expecting to play big roles for you this season and who you're expecting to kind of lead your team this year.
We have Lucas Wagner, who is a senior. We're hoping that he does some good things. He shoots the ball well from the perimeter. And then, you know, we have Taryn Emery and Jaden McBee, who are also seniors, and Jack Michaels, who's also a senior. And then this year we had Matthew Berry came back out. He's a baseball kid, very good athlete, very good catcher for the baseball team. And he came back out this year to play, and we're glad to have him. So, you know, we have Landon Stewart, just a lot of guys that are really just solid seniors. Hopefully they'll have a good year and learn their role this year. Things are changing a lot for them on obviously how we are doing things compared to what they've done in the last few years. So it definitely is difficult for them, but they're adjusting well. They're working hard every day. And I think we're going to turn this around. I just think it's going to take time.
Coach, coming into this season, you talked about your playing days back in 1978. Of course, that was with a single class basketball, the old Frankfort sectional in Case Arena. Kind of talk about the aura of that arena, but also what your team can bring to this new generation with NIL signings, with all the social media and the like. How can you kind of bridge that gap between the great teams of the past and the teams that we know you're going to create here?
Well, Kyle, that's $1 million question, right?
that's why I wanted to ask
it. Yeah, it definitely is a different era. And, you know, I don't think that a lot of gyms are filled anymore due to class basketball. I was fortunate enough to play in that time where the gym was full almost every night, and you'd stand outside the door trying to get a ticket. And it was just one class basketball was just amazing back then. And, you know, they've changed that whole dynamic with the class basketball. So I'm not really a fan of class basketball, although I do understand where we're at because we have a lot of smaller schools now and a lot of private schools that are intact. So it does make some sense, but I do think it hurt the game as an entirety from what it was when I played. And then having an opportunity, you know, my junior year to win a sectional with your county schools, Rossville, Clinton Prairie, Clinton Central, those type of teams. Tri-Central was in that, I think. So it was a lot of fun and a lot of excitement during that time. And we went on to have an opportunity to make it to the championship game of the semi-state at Mackey Arena. So it was really a great honor to play at Mackey Arena during that time. And so bridging the gap, the social media has created a whole different avenue. And as you just mentioned, NIL is probably coming to high school. And I think it's obviously hurt the college game. It's just changed the dynamics so much. It's become a business. And I think that takes away from the fun of the sectional and regional and those kind of things if it does get to high school. And I'm sure it's coming.
At a former student, Sam, you'll appreciate this. NIL in, I think, roughly 38 to 39 states, Indiana not being one of them as well, too. So most certainly I would not be shocked to see that happen in the future. But, Coach, along kind of those same lines, there is something that has been lost in terms of loyalty, I think. But at the same time, how do you preach loyalty while at the same time being able to give examples of it? Because, as you said, it kind of seems lost a little bit in this day and age a little.
Yeah, I think it's big that you build relationships with your kids. I think that's where the loyalty piece comes in. you know, I'm an old school coach, and I've had to change some things. I'm fortunate. My son's my assistant coach, and he is a little bit younger, obviously, and he sees the transition, and he's very good at having that type of relationship with the kids and relating to them, as I'm more of the hard-nosed and expectation and demand you to work hard. But, you know, I think kids are willing to work hard today. You know, you just have to demand it. But it is a different society, and with all of the social media, which I'm not a fan of either, you know, I try to stay off of that stuff. But I do think that you know, if you just build relationships with kids and you let them know that you care about them, because obviously basketball comes and goes for a lot of kids. There's not a lot of kids that get to go on to play college or get in the NBA, right? So I think if you just build relationships with those kids and let them know that you're trying to make them better adults, and so they have a future, you know, as being as a person, as a dad, as a father, those kind of things, I think that's a more important than, you know, winning a state title. I mean, we all want to win, obviously, but these kids are going to go out in the world today, and it is a different world. So we're trying really hard to bridge that gap and have a good relationship with our kids.
Absolutely. And so I will venture to say that you're not going to run the Frankfort Boys Basketball Twitter account.
That'd be correct. Yeah, I have to have someone do all that. I'm not much on – I can barely turn my phone on.
There we go. Well, I want to talk a little bit about – you mentioned some talking about changing the style of the program and the system that you guys are going to run. Talk a little bit about your background and philosophy, you know, old school type of coach, and what can fans expect from this year's Frankfort Boys Basketball team?
Well, I mean, I think obviously when I played, you know, Coach Milholland had us going up and down the floor and scoring 80 points. You know, we had the personnel to do that at that time. I think from year to year it changes. You know, this year I think we're going to have to try to not necessarily slow the game down, but on some nights, you know, we're going to need to win in the 40s, and there may be nights that we can get to 60. But right now, you know, it's just it depends on who we're playing. But skill-wise, we're lacking in that area as far as skill goes. We're working on the fundamentals right now with these seniors. It's amazing that they're a little bit behind in that area being seniors. But I can, again, tell you that they are working hard every single day to improve in those areas. So I think it's really going to depend on our opponent. If I had to choose a philosophy of playing, I would choose to be up-tempo. But there are just some teams and some personnel and some nights that you can't do that. And so we just have to make those adjustments week to week on that. But, you know, this team probably you'll see more games in the high 40s to low 50s as you will in the 70s. In 2 or 3 years that may change, or next year that may change. But for this year I think it's probably going to be a little bit more in the low 50s to high 40s.
Talking with Frankfort Boys Basketball Coach Albert Hendricks, and you have the season opener against Clinton Prairie. Of course, this has been a season opener for a long time, and it's been a fun one for the community to get out to and watch. And Clinton Prairie had all that success last year, going all the way to the state championship game. And I know for you guys it would be fun to kind of spoil their opening night as well, but you guys get a chance to play at home. So what are you expecting from the Gophers on Wednesday?
Well, obviously, you know, they had a great run last year, and I didn't get to see a lot of their games due to the fact I scouted one game because they were playing an opponent we were. But outside of that, I'm not real familiar with their personnel. We've, you know, obviously seen their state finals game, and we'll be looking at film. And they've got some kids coming back, but they lost McGraw and they lost Farley, which were two top scorers for them. So I look forward to playing them. I think it'll be a great game, and you know, we're trying to it's a process for us, so we're trying to build on game one and then on to game two. So you know, obviously our kids are excited. It's a county rival, and they had a great season last year, and you know, we're just going to go in and play with a lot of effort and a lot of intensity, and we'll see what happens.
And man, would it be fun to see a packed out Case Arena for opening night. Two local teams and one team that went to a state finals run, and we're excited for that matchup, and I think it should be a great game. So if you're listening, go out and watch a fun high school boys basketball game next Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving. Relax a little bit before all the stress and hustle of the holiday, and watch that game 7:30.
Take a break from the relatives if you can. Come out to Case Arena. Check out the brand-new trophy case area as well. They've really built that up the last couple of years. It looks absolutely amazing. Even got a little area dedicated to blue chips. So
there we go.
Wanted to make sure we talked about the trophy case, but definitely, if you need a break from those relatives, come out to Case Arena. Absolutely.
Yeah, it should be a fun time, and we hope to see that arena packed out.
Yeah, me too. We have a new athletic director, Jeff Irwin. He's doing an outstanding job, and he's a go-getter. So, I think a lot of changes are going to be made at Frankfort, and, I think we're going to change a culture. And so I'm really excited to be a part of it.
There we go. This has been head coach Albert Hendricks of the Frankfort boys basketball team. And we appreciate you joining us on this episode of Inside the Huddle. Come back. We've got quarter number four coming up on Inside the Huddle. We'll talk with Carroll girls basketball coach Brady Wiles. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfort?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Quarter number four of Inside the Huddle. We sponsored by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers. We appreciate Coach Albert Hendricks from Frankfort coming on.
Absolutely.
To the show, and we're looking forward to a new season from the Frankfort Hot Dogs. Now time to talk about a little bit more about our game from last night and our girls basketball game of the week as Carroll took down Clinton Central 38-30, and we have Carroll girls basketball coach Brady Wiles on the show now. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good morning. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Has to feel better after a win to come on the show, and you guys got it done last night, especially in that fourth quarter to take down the Bulldogs 38-30.
Yeah, it was a fun, exciting Friday night at Carroll. Obviously, a fun rivalry that's produced very good ball games the last 5 years or so. So had a great crowd, and it was probably a little bit of an ugly ball game to watch and on both sides, but to come out on top was very exciting.
And we were kind of expecting this kind of game between you guys, two really good defenses. I think Clinton Central's defense has really improved over from last year, and your guys' defense is what it is, and you got a couple of really good on-ball defenders and a couple of great zone defenders in that system. And it was a slow start for you guys going down 6-0 early, and then you saw a little bit of the strategy from Clinton Central is get a lead and try to hold on to the ball a little bit longer and to force you guys to make some changes in that zone. At one point in the game, they held the ball for about a minute, 90 seconds, and I saw you kind of directing traffic to your squad, and you came out to trap, and you got a jump ball, and you got a little fired up, got a little animated after that, because you were pretty excited about the way your team responded to that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it just showed some composure, and we needed a spark, and I think we can all agree. Maybe that's why we need a shot clock, because nobody wants to stand there and watch somebody hold a basketball. I definitely wouldn't want to pay $7 and to just watch a basketball being held for a minute and 90 seconds or so. But I'm definitely proud of the girls, and you talk about us having a slow start. They we figured they would play a 3-2 zone just from watching film. So we did prepare for that. But the bad thing was is we had played four previous games, and all four teams played man-to-man against us. So we kind of expected a slow start, and we were not very disciplined, especially in the first and second quarters offensively. But, you know, once we got settled in, I'm pretty confident against the zone. But like I said, we were unfortunate we had not had any prep going into that. So, you know, we're still good going forward. And obviously when you have a couple games back-to-back that you don't play well but still grind it out defensively and, you know, you come out of that with two wins, you know, it's definitely more positive than negative.
Talk about the defense last night, holding Clinton Central to just 30 points and, you know, the talent that they have in Carly Davison and held her to 14 points and the on-ball defense from Olivia Schroeder, but then the zone that you guys were able to set up behind that and the length of a girl like Jillian Saltz to come away with some steals. I thought Eliza Reinhart played really well on the defensive end as well. Talk about what you saw from your defense yesterday.
I think the biggest thing was just having versatility. I mean, if you go back and watch, we probably played seven different styles of defense. And, you know, with a player as good as Carly, you have to change things up. I mean, if you run the same thing three or four times down the court, she will find a way to expose you and ultimately get a good shot or get her teammate a good shot. So, like I said, just being versatile was the biggest thing. Obviously, Schroeder and Springer defensively. You know, Schroeder for 3.5 quarters and then Springer for about a half of a quarter in the fourth. They did a phenomenal job. But like you said, you know, we did a box and one, kind of a diamond one type deal. Also did some, you know, man-to-man with three girls and then literally just shadowing two girls under the basket. And like I said, you got to give Carly a lot of credit. When you have to have two to three girls shutting her down, I mean, it speaks volumes to the type of player she is and ultimately the type of passer she is and whole nine yards. So, like I said, give Carly a lot of credit. Our whole focus is on her, and then they have a couple very solid girls around her. So we try to make things as difficult as possible, and ultimately it's paid off the last few times we played them.
On the other end of the floor offensively, we talked about you kind of struggled to get going. You got to the free throw line a little bit, but then couldn't knock down a lot of the free throws. Eliza Reinhart was key in that spot, hitting 5 of 6 from the charity stripe, but you kind of needed somebody to step up down the stretch to hit a big shot, and it was a slow start for Maddie Isley. Jillian Saltz finished with double digits, but it seemed like it was a long time coming for her to get there. Reinhart got to the free throw line, couldn't do a lot else otherwise, so you needed somebody to step up and hit some big shots. And, man, talk about Briley Springer, probably the two biggest threes of that game, one to take the lead, one to push it to a two-possession game. And what did she provide as a spark in that fourth quarter?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, Springer hitting those two shots is the difference in the game. You know, if one of the two doesn't go in, I don't know that we're, you know, having a happy conversation this morning on Inside the Huddle. But, you know, Springer, it all starts with defense. She did a phenomenal job for a few possessions on Carly. And when you have, again, when you have good players surrounding people that play a role, you know, Briley knows her role and she buys into it and she plays it perfectly. Her job is to play defense, pressure the ball, or possibly face guard a player, and her job is to hit open shots. And she bought into that this summer. She worked at it, and it paid off. So, in my opinion, you know, we'll probably have a big game with Rossville this regular season, but other than that, you know, we circle Clinton Central as one of the top games just because of how close we are, you know, conference rivalry. So, you know, those are two of the biggest shots of the entire season, you know, five games in. So, and then on top of that, she's a sophomore with, you know, 2.5 years still left in her career and, you know, super bright future. So just very, very proud of her. Did not play a lot in the first three quarters and then to come out and, you know, hit those, that speaks volumes of her and, you know, like I said, her future.
Coach, so much of coaching girls basketball is letting young ladies know that it's okay to deviate away from the play, especially if you've got a matchup that you can exploit. Along the same lines of Springer hitting those shots, kind of talk about the ability of your kids to recognize those mismatches, not just from Springer, but also being able to understand that if you've got an open lane to drive it to the basket, take your person off the dribble and to really body him up on the inside. Because I thought in the second half, I thought your kids did a wonderful job of really recognizing different mismatches that they could exploit.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think that's maybe the biggest challenge of coaching high school girls basketball. There's not a lot of that. I mean, we do have to provide quite a bit of structure. And, you know, you talk about the differences in coaching boys and girls. With girls, you provide that structure, and they will do it and buy into it and go as hard as they can at that. And then with boys, I feel like, you know, there's maybe just more pickup games and kind of free flow games. So it's quite a different two different games there. But I was really proud of a couple of the girls, Jillian and Eliza specifically, in the fourth quarter, especially when Long got in foul trouble. We had one-on-one matchups that we were able to exploit. And, you know, Jillian and Eliza, like I said, they did a phenomenal job at that. And to give a little credit, you know, Kenley Randall's been a huge boost to our team. We're a completely different team from last year because I feel like we have a true natural point guard now, which allows Eliza to play off the ball. And in my opinion, when you can start a game, you know, for four quarters, you have Jillian and Eliza in the post. You know, I feel like we do get a lot of the mismatches that you're talking about, and that's a work in progress, but it's, you know, definitely something to be excited about.
And not so much in the last game, but in your previous games, the Randall handle of being able to slice and dice the defense to open things up, not just on the outside, but also the inside, has most certainly got to be a welcome contribution. But one thing that we did notice, especially from the crowd and the kids, is many of them thanked us for being there last night, which was very appreciative, and we really enjoyed it. We were given cookies when we showed up, and we had a lot of great students. But would you happen to know where they got the street signs that they used for road construction worker night? Because I did a little bit of checking around both counties last night. All the signs seemed to be there in working order, but kind of talk about your fans, but also just kind of the great atmosphere that you've got at Carroll. Because if you give me a cookie every single time I show up, you don't have to ask me twice to show up.
Yeah, what will it take for you to wear a blue sweatshirt to the Carroll Rossville game?
I got my Colts blue on right now.
Hey, there we go.
Let me see here. That game is at Rossville at home.
You might get fired from his teaching position.
I don't think I'd get fired, per se.
Well, hey, maybe a Teresa's steak before the game will get you a Carroll shirt for
okay.
that game.
Now, see, you are talking my language right to my stomach. So, yes, we will definitely have to talk off air about that, Coach. Definitely.
Sounds good. No, I mean, to have that kind of a crowd for a girls' game, that was pretty special. It was exciting. You know, I truly wish we had a little better performance to put on display for them, but, you know, it was still an exciting game, and obviously the fourth quarter was something to watch. So, no, it's a special place. I mean, obviously my alma mater, I've been going to games since I was, you know, 1 year old, and it's definitely a special place. So, you know, the crowd buys in, the students buy in. I have no clue where they got the signs and probably don't want to know, to be honest. But it was a cool atmosphere. And like I said, there's a lot of parents that's putting really hard work into getting, you know, getting the band there, getting students there. And that's what it takes. It's a program, a lot of people involved. And that's what it takes. It takes an army going all together. And like I said, it's amazing to see. And, you know, the success over the last few years has been the result of a lot of people's hard work. So can't thank them enough. And like I said, it was a very fun environment. And thank you to them. And thank you to you for coming out.
Well, we appreciate that. Let's, before we wrap up, talk a little bit about the rest of the schedule. You guys are now sitting at 5-0. You guys have a week off before getting back into action in the Alexandria tournament next week. A couple of matchups against higher class schools coming up, the Alexandria tournament, and then at 3A North, against 3A Northwestern and at 3A Western. So talk about the schedule coming up over the next couple of weeks and what you're expecting from your girls over this stretch.
Yeah, it's been good to kind of ramp up. I mean, obviously, the first three games were kind of lopsided victories, and then, you know, North White gave us more of a challenge than we truly expected. Going into the Clinton Central game, obviously, is a huge game that we circle, so it's been good to kind of ramp up slightly, but, you know, we go from ramping up to two of the best teams that we play a week from today, so it'll be an exciting tournament. We look to put a few really good teams on our schedule, and we'll get back-to-back games next Saturday. Obviously, Kokomo coming, Western coming. So we feel like we've built a schedule this year that is very versatile and hopefully can prepare us for sectional time. So we're excited about it, and like I said, it'll be a tough weekend next weekend. We'll see what we can do and try to grind out a couple more wins.
There we go. That's Carroll girls basketball coach Brady Wiles. Coach, we appreciate you coming on. The next time we'll have you on the game of the week, December 19th at Rossville, should be a fun one. And we look forward to covering that game as well. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Brady Wiles, the Carroll girls basketball coach. That'll do it for this edition of Inside the Huddle. Remember, next week, a special Inside the Huddle episode. We'll be talking about our boys football, all Hoosierland TV team. We'll name our top 20 area players from this past season. So don't miss that show next Saturday, and a kind of a special episode over the holiday weekend. And we appreciate all you guys tuning in. And if you missed any part of today's show, you want to go back and watch or listen, you can do it on Hoosierland TV. You can do it on Spotify at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. You can also find it on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the sports tab. Click on Inside the Huddle. For our entire crew, Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.